In this place and in this time, we are gathered for worship. And one of the things that makes worship here special is you. And part of the way we recognize that is that every element of our worship is brought here by someone. And you're going to get a chance later to hear Alice Bentley play the piano. But I also want you to know that she wrote us an introit for today. So today, as we say, now is the time. And as you rise and join in preparation for our first hymn, I invite you to receive this blessing from Alice and from the choir.
This is the day the Lord has made.
A day of praise and prayer, a day of gratitude and generosity.
This is the time God has given us.
A time for singing and silence, a time for speaking and listening.
This is the life to which God calls us.
A life of humility and service, a life of faith and trust.
All are welcome.
Thank you.
the time for you to greet one another in peace.
Church. Welcome to worship. Do me a favor, look at your neighbor and say, I am glad. That was terrible. You sounded like you were tired. Try that again. Say, I am glad. And you are here. Now look at somebody and say, God loves you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Welcome to Royal Oak First United Methodist Church, where we are glad you are here, and we believe that God does love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Doesn't matter where you've been or what you've been through, who you love or who loves you, we are glad that you are here, and God loves you, and there's not a thing that you can do about it. So enjoy that invitation to be in worship with us today. Our ushers right now are coming down the center aisle. They're passing out what's called our ritual of friendship pad. This is your opportunity to let us know that you're with us today. We want to know that you're here. And if you're visiting or worshiping with us for the first time, would you especially let us know that you're with us by leaving us a little contact information, either a mailing address or an email, so we can be in touch with you during the week and say, hey, we are glad you're here. After the service, I invite everyone to make their way on down to the fellowship hall. We have coffee and refreshments, a chance to keep the friendships and fellowship going, opportunity to be connected with one of our many mission projects that are on display down there after the service. As always, I got a couple of things I always like to let you know that's happening in the life of the church. First and foremost, I'm going to invite my good friend Brian Baker to come on up here. Brian has got inspired about a group that he needs some help getting formed here. Brian, would you welcome Brian on up here this morning? Brian, what has God called you to do?
Well, God has called me to find like-minded individuals. If you know what this is, you're probably over 30.
I had no idea what it was.
Any guesses what it's off of? I heard 55. Close. Anybody? 56 is the year, and it's a Mercury. Not very similar to a Chevy Hornet. It's really close. But if you're the kind of person who, when you're sitting at the intersection and kind of a loud rumbling car comes up alongside, and you lower your window instead of raise it, you're the kind of person I'm looking for. If you believe that salvation and carburation can go together, you're the kind of person I'm looking for. If you're the kind of person who keeps extra folding chairs in the trunk the month of August because of all the time you spend out on Woodward Avenue, you're the kind of person I'm looking for. You notice I'm saying person, not guy, okay? I'm looking for car people. I'm looking to form a group where we can do things for the church, car shows, we can get together and just talk about whether it's tuner cars or vintage rides, whatever. I'm looking for you folks. We're going to put some notice in the bulletin this week. I hope you'll join me. We're going to find a place like once a month, maybe at Vincetta Garage or at Dugan's or maybe here right at the church. But I need to find you first. So I'm reaching out to you. If you love talking cars and you want to figure out how we can put cars and Christianity into get one package, that's what I want to try and do, okay? Thanks so much, folks. Watch for the bulletin.
Thanks, Brian. Brian, do we have a barbecue?
We can do a
barbecue. Oh, very good, right? That's the best pun I could come up with in the midst of that. A couple other announcements for the good of the community today. We are always looking for chances to get connected, and this week there are three opportunities for you to come and be connected to each other and the things that are happening here in the life of the church. The first one is this Saturday, October 28th, 5:30 p.m. We're having our first Saturday night supper club. This is a potluck dinner, so just bring a dish to pass. Bring a salad, bring a dessert, bring a side dish. We'll provide the main dish. And we just want to have some time to be together on a Saturday night to enjoy each other's company. We have a great program planned for that night. Mary Nahat, along with her kids who all grown up in this choir, are going to be putting on a musical program for us. So come and be involved with that this Saturday at 5:30 p.m., immediately after our 4 o'clock worship. If you want to come to 4 o'clock worship and stay, you get Sunday off. That's all I'm saying. You heard it here first, right? The second thing I want to invite you to is we're also the night before that on Friday, October 27th. We're having a special Halloween party. This is for all ages and all abilities. Our Faith Abilities community is putting on a Halloween party, not just for our families with special needs kids, but in order to make sure that we are including everybody with all different kinds of needs and abilities. So if you have a special needs family member or loved one, or have a special needs person in your life, please invite them to come. And if you'd like to support that kind of ministry, just come. It's going to be a fun evening of games and music and just Christian community. And finally, the theme is eating this week, right? I'm going to show you this red. Here we go. In your pews today, you got this, right? This right here is to come out to eat this Tuesday night at Big Boy, Jesus' favorite restaurant, right? The Big Boy. So come on out, have yourself a bacon cheeseburger, have some chili cheese fries. I heard they have salad, although I've never had one there. But and they got that great cake afterwards. Come out and support our music guild. 15% of proceeds that night go to help send young people to choir camp. So this is what this is all about. I call the head of the restaurant. They know this is for Jesus, so they've taken all the calories out of the food. So it's a fat-free adventure, so come and be with us this Tuesday night. And finally, I'm also being reminded that it's UMW nut sales. So this is the last week to pre-order your UMW mixed nuts, so make sure you get that after the service downstairs as well. And finally, today is also Spare Change Sunday. We're back to Noisy Bucket. All the proceeds go to support Lithuania. In a minute after the children's moment, our kids are going to be taking all your dimes, nickels, quarters, and pennies. And on your way out today, if you haven't already received a change cup, get that. Richard, you can take it with you to Florida and send us your change once a month, or bring it back with you in May. We'll take it all in one shot. Help support our Lithuania mission. Those are all the announcements I have for the good of the community. And with that, we invite our children to come on down front.
Sit close together because we're talking today about teams and being a team. How many of you are on a team? You have a game today? What? Soccer?
Yep.
Does your team have a name? What is it?
The Forest.
The Forest? Anybody else on a team? You're on a team, Mom? What team? Soccer? What's your team? So you know it's a team. You know, you go out there and you have teammates and everybody does a little something different. You play different positions. Well, I want you to look around you at everybody in this group. This is your church team.
Yay!
We are the church team. We go out into the world, and God goes with us, but we go with each other. We go together as a team. So I think, because we are a team, I think we need a cheer. You think we need a cheer? All right. So listen, the first thing I'm going to ask you to do, listen carefully to the instructions. Because I'm going to ask you to stomp your feet. I'm going to ask you to stand up and turn around. Then I'm going to ask you to yell, and you yell, "Go team!" Can you do that? Go team! All right, listen carefully. Get ready to stomp. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. Let me hear you stomp the floor. 5, 6, 7, 8. Let's stand up and rotate. 9, 10, 11, 12, let me hear the rope. them yell, "Go team!" All right, that was pretty lame. Let's try that again. Go team! Go team! And now we're going to learn one more cheer. And this one's so important that I think we need some extra help. Pastor Jeff, would you come help us? Oh, come on up here. Caleb, can you come join us? Come get in here. We need some help. All right.
Fire it up.
Now listen.
Fire up, Chips. Let's do it. Go state. Go blue. Go okay. Blue, blue.
All right. All right. Let's stay focused here. Let's stay focused here. All right. Now, follow me. Ready? Repeat after me. Rofum, rofum, rah, rah, rah.
Rofum,
rah, rah, rah. We are God's team. Hallelujah. We are God's team. Hallelujah. All the way through. Rofum, rofum, rah, rah, rah. We are God's team. Hallelujah. One time with everybody. Ready? Rofum, rofum, rah, rah, rah. We are God's team. Hallelujah. High five. Good job. High five. High five. High five. Now we are going to do some noisy buckets. All right, team.
We're going to come and get some change from you.
Let's have some teamwork here. Here you go. Take a bucket. Take a bucket. Take a bucket.
Stay there until they give you something.
Just
stand there.
Here, go together with this.
Ryan will help you. Ryan will help you.
Okay, will you go down this way?
One of my favorite things to do in the life of the church is to open the doors of fellowship and friendship to those who have found us and have decided they want to make this place their home. Over the course of this weekend, we have welcomed people into worship at all four of our worship experiences. Thursday at As We Gather, we welcome new members. Last night at Saturday, we welcomed some new members. This morning at 9 o'clock and again at 11. We're welcoming people into the life of this church. It's a special moment. And so I invite all of those who at this point in their life and journey have said, we want to make Royal Oak First our home. Would you come on up and join me? Come on down, friends. Yay! Remember Aria from a couple of weeks ago? She stole our heart in the baptism. She talked her parents into joining the church. We're really grateful. We're really grateful for that. I've said it to you from the first moments we've met, and I say it to you again today. Welcome. We're glad you're here. God loves you. We love you. And there's nothing you can do about that. So we're grateful to invite you into this journey of discipleship along with us. Your presence here, your gifts here makes a difference. We're not the same without you. So thank you for coming to add the uniqueness that you bring to us. What I'm going to do is simply just ask you to introduce yourself to us with your name and just tell us one thing about why this feels like the right time for you to make a connection here with this church. Andrew, you go first, my brother.
Hello, my name is Andrew Altman. We recently had a baby, 8 months ago, obviously. We felt a special need to come and find a good church home to be part of. And that's what brought us to Royal Oak First United. And the day we walked in, we came in, I think our first week was Mother's Day. And everybody made us feel so welcome, and we enjoyed the service so much that we decided to make this our home. And we're very glad to be a part of it. And thank you all for being so welcoming to us.
Hi, my name's Jamie. I'm Andrew's wife, and he pretty much hit the nail on the head there. Every day since Mother's Day has just amplified in how we feel, and every day we just feel amazingly welcomed here, and we're really happy to be home.
Hi, my name is Michelle Hall. This is my daughter, and I just have to say, from the very first time I came here, after going to many different denominational churches, it's like I knew I'd found home.
Welcome.
I'm Lori Altman. I am Andrew's mom. I was a Methodist all of my life, and we've raised our kids in the Methodist church, and we've been absent for a while from a congregation, and the moment we came, we just knew this was the place we had to be.
I'm Tracy Altman, and I have no idea who these people are. I was actually confirmed in this church in the 60s, and we moved around, we did some things. I met my wife, she was going to Hazel Park first, and so for the right reasons, a girl, I went over there. And we kind of bounced around a little bit, and we felt we needed to get back as well, as Lori said. Andrew and Jamie helped with that. The Lord moved them to call us and say, Mom, Dad, we're gonna go looking for a church home. Would you join us? And I'll just reiterate, I walked in, we walked in, met some of you people. Some of you people I had already met, some faces I already knew when I walked in. And we did indeed feel perfectly at home, and I knew I was back home. Thank you for being so kind to us.
Well, I'm not an Altman, but I am related to them. Lori is my sister, and I feel the same way. When I walked in, I felt the Holy Spirit. And I'm in the music ministry. I'd like to get involved with that. So thank you very much for accepting all of us.
Caleb, you got a robe today? We just put her in the robe. Get her right up there. Yeah. Friends, I'm going to ask you some questions. The answer to them all is yes. There's no test to come in, but this is just a moment for you to confirm the commitment of what God has already done and is doing in your heart. So I ask you, in the presence of God and surrounded by these, your new church friends and family, will you do all that you can to support First United Methodist Church of Royal Oak with your presence? If so, say we will.
We will.
Will you do all that you can to uplift this church with your prayers? If so, say we will.
We will.
Will you do all, you're in too, yes. Will you do all that you can to support this church with your gifts? If so, say we will.
We will.
Will you support this church with your service? If so, say we will.
We will.
And will you support this church with your witness, going forth from this place and living your life in such a way that somebody would say, I want to know what they got. Will you support this church and God's movement with your witness? If so, say we will.
We will.
Royal Oak First United Methodist Church, I ask you now, will you receive this family into our midst? And will you support them with your presence and with your prayers, with your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say we will.
We will.
As we prepare to receive them into membership, if you are so willing and able, I simply invite you to come and surround them with hands as we welcome them into the life of this church. Thank you. Feel the love. Feel the welcome. Feel the extension of God's grace into your life. These are your friends. These are your brothers and your sisters. You got more grandmas than you know what to do with now. We welcome you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you are forever drawing the circle wide. We give you thanks for this family that has found their place here, God, and we give you thanks that they have chosen to put down some roots here and to allow their wings to soar here. God, may they know today that they have found a place where their gifts are needed. They have found a place where their service will be honored. That they have found a place where they can make friends. And they can grow in their love and faith in you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. And the people of God said,
amen.
Hey friends, would you please welcome all of these new members to Royal Oak First United Methodist Church. Hugs and handshakes are appropriate at this time. Myra's got some gifts for you. We got some roses. Robin's got a membership packet for all of you. It's got your envelopes in there. I didn't want you to think we forgot those. Thank you.
because there is no better time or place to give our joys and our concerns, no better time to ask for wisdom and guidance in changing the world around us. Join me now in prayer. Infinite God, you've walked with us all of our lives, and you are present with us now. Now is the time for everyone to embrace the world you so love. We pray for those places in the world that suffer. Give the world and its leaders the wisdom they need and the resources they lack, so that no one suffers needlessly. Enable us to actively seek your love and justice for all creatures of this earth. Meet us now and hear our silent prayers.
Lord, we meet you in the silence this morning. We let your love wash over us. We give you thanks that we were able to make it into this place this morning, to be here among you and among your people. As we look over the week that has just passed, God, help us call to mind that one moment when we just felt grateful. Let us give thanks that that moment was grace and a gift. God, help us also call to mind that one moment in the week past, where maybe we wish things had turned out a little different. And maybe we wish we had said something we didn't. We wish we could take back something we said and we can't. A time when anger or frustration or doubt got the best of us. And God, we give that moment back to you as well. And realizing the gift that is your grace, that you will use even that moment to help us understand your love in a deeper way. Help us remember any of those in our lives who are in need of prayer today, whether they are sick or shut in, whether they are struggling for work or in a relationship or with loneliness. Whoever it is in our life, God, today that needs your prayer, would you please let them feel our love emanating from this place? God, help us remember the world, the places that have been touched by disaster and by violence. We pray for your churches and leaders and communities of faith that are in those places, that they could be beacons of hope, just as we strive to be one of those right here in our community. And Lord, we simply ask that you would do the miracle that you do with us every time we gather in this place. That you would take us, Lord, people of different ages, races, and backgrounds. And you would bring us together as one people, praying together that prayer that makes us one, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Did the words to that song come into your mind when Alice was playing it a few minutes ago? I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, No, turning back, it was so beautiful. I have decided to follow Jesus. You know, this church is committed to a lot of things. We are committed to serving the community. We are committed to serving our children. We are committed to serving and loving each other. No turning back. And this is our chance to participate in that commitment with our tithes and our offerings. Give like it matters, because it does. Flow, we do praise you, and we thank you for all the blessings that you have given us. Oh God, please accept these, our offerings and gifts. We ask you to bless them and take them out into the world. Sometimes, God, they just seem so small. Help us to never underestimate your power to take what we bring and multiply it and bless it and take it out into the world. Because you, God, are not small. Oh God, from whom all blessings flow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. You can be seated. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to be entering into our season of stewardship. It's our invitation to be a part of the planting ministry, the sowing in of our treasure to make sure that God's work can continue in this place. As we go through this season of stewardship, I want to lift up some moments in the life of our church where your gifts and your giving are making a huge difference in the world. I start today with one of my favorite little stories that has kind of given birth here in our church in the last 6 months. If you take a look at our video screen up here, enjoy this story of how your gifts are changing the world.
It's the story of Jocelyn McNeil and Lori Gross. Two sisters who grew up in this congregation came to me and said, "We have an idea. How about if we started coming the first Wednesday of the month to the bag lunch program? We'd come, we'd bring a couple of chairs, we'd bring some mirrors, we'd bring our scissors, we'd bring our clippers, we'd bring some shampoo and some conditioner. And for 2 hours we would cut the hair of the guests who come here 5 days a week for food." And that's exactly what they do. Every first Wednesday of the month, they open up the Saints and Scissors Hair Salon.
It's amazing. The two girls that do the great work here, I know the members of the church have been for a long time. When their mom used to help them out too, washing the hair and stuff before the haircuts, anybody that needed it. And it's just a beautiful family, you know. Take care of everybody individually and really just, make you feel like a new person once you get out of that chair.
Where the hungry and homeless of our community are treated with dignity and care, where they're given not just a haircut, they're given a hairstyle. They listen to the guests who are there, ask them what kind of haircut they would like. They talk about their lives and their stories. Now there's often a waiting list. They sometimes stay for over 2 hours. They stay until the last person who wants their haircut gets their haircut. They wear shirts that say, with Jesus in her heart, scissors in her hands, she is unstoppable. Lori and Jocelyn decided now is the time. Now is the time to take all of the blessings that they have been given and give them back. Give them back to this church, give them back to this community, but most importantly, give them back to the people in this world who often get left out and left behind. It's amazing to watch what happens in those chairs while Jocelyn and Lori cut people's hair. There's transformation. The smiles on people's faces when it's all over tells the story of what it means to have somebody give you dignity, somebody to give you time, somebody to listen to you. As we listen to our guests who call our bag lunch program home, as we listen to them tell us what a difference a fresh haircut makes, reminds them that they are human again. So I want to thank Lori and Jocelyn for saying now is the time. Now is the time to take God's love and make it real. Make it real in our church, make it real in our community, and make it real for those. Now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time.
Our scripture this morning is from Mark, 5th chapter, verses 24 through 34. A swarm of people were following Jesus, crowding in on him. A woman was there who had been bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a lot under the care of many doctors and had spent everything she had without getting any better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Because she had heard about Jesus, She came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes. She was thinking, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Her bleeding stopped immediately, and she sensed in her body that her illness had been healed. At that very moment, Jesus recognized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "Don't you see the crowd pressing against you? Yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus looked around carefully to see who had done it. The woman, full of fear and trembling, came forward. Knowing what had happened to her, she fell down in front of Jesus and told him the whole truth. He responded, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, heal from your disease." The word of God for the people of God.
Her name was Susie. And Susie hadn't been to church in a lot of years. Oh, it's not like she hadn't been to church before. In fact, she'd been to a lot of churches before. And the story, she said, was always the same. They were really nice to me when I first got there. But after a while, it just never felt like I really belonged. But she felt deep inside her that it was time. That it was time to go back one more time. It was time to try it one more time. She thought, maybe they'd be able to see past my past this time. Maybe they'd be able to see beyond my poverty this time. Maybe they'd be able to see beyond the evidences of a life sometimes filled with hard living. Maybe this would be the time they'd suspend their judgment. Maybe this would be the time that her family could get the fresh start they so desperately wanted. Maybe, just maybe, this time would be different. So one cold Sunday morning, she got up. She got dressed, convinced 7 of her 10 kids to go with her, and showed up in the back pew of the church, hoping and praying that maybe this would be the time where she could grab hold. Grab hold of God in a new way. 2,000 years ago, there was another woman who wondered if the time was right to grab hold of God. Like Susie, she also had reason to worry whether or not the time was right. Like Susie, she sometimes had appearance of a reputation or a past. I mean, the story tells us that this woman has been bleeding. She has been bleeding for 12 straight years. In Jesus' time, when a woman was in the midst of her cycle, she was viewed as socially unclean. An entire chapter of the book of Leviticus is dedicated to the restrictions women must adhere during this time. An entire chapter is dedicated to where she could go and where she couldn't go. An entire chapter is dedicated to who she can be with and who she could not be with. If there's ever a reminder that men have written significant portions of the Bible, this ought to be it. But during this time, she was deemed unclean. And so she couldn't be with her family. And she couldn't be with her friends. And she certainly could not go to her church. And the story tells us that this has been going on for 12 straight years. 12 years without a single break, without a single hope, without a single moment of relief. At this point in this woman's story, her bleeding is no longer just a physical condition. It has become spiritual and it has become communal. Imagine the rumors and speculations that must have surrounded this woman. What on earth had she done that would make God curse her like that? And the whispers in the community, I heard it started after she got divorced. I heard it happened after she got diagnosed with that mental illness. I heard it's because she has all those kids. Whatever it was, the social isolation was clear. 12 years she has been deemed outcast. 12 years she has had to eat alone. 12 years she has never been invited to the party. She couldn't come to Big Boy with us this Tuesday. 12 years the whispers and the snickers and the sideway glances. 12 years of being told God does not love you and there is nothing you can do about it. And like Susie, it's not like she hadn't been to places to try to get help in the past. The scripture tells us that she's been to see many doctors over the years, going to people and places, hoping that they would find some healing, and she's never been able to find it. That's when the favorite word in this whole story happens for me. Because she heard about Jesus, she thought maybe she'd try it again. All of this stories about all of this suffering changes with that word, because she had heard about Jesus. She thought she would try it one more time. Boy, I hope and pray that that's what they say about Royal Oak First United Methodist Church. Because of what I've heard about Royal Oak First United Methodist Church, I'm willing to give this God thing one more try. You see, she'd heard that Jesus was different, and the movement he was starting was different. She heard that healing was coming to people for whom healing has never been available. She heard that community was being made available for people for whom community had never been available before. And so she wondered that maybe, just maybe, there might be room for someone like her. But she had to worry, right? Would they be able to see past her past? Would they really be able to give her a chance? Would they give her the space where she could connect with God? I mean, was this the time? And if it was, would she have the courage to reach out and grab hold of it? Make no mistake, life gives us moments when it is the time to reach out and grab hold of it. The story says this woman reached out and she grabbed hold of it. She wasn't going to let it pass her by. Life gives us moments when you've got to reach out and you've got to grab it. Moments when we're invited to change direction. Moments when we're invited to try something different. Moments when we can grab hold of a vision that God has for us. And the only question we have is the same question that woman had to have, is, am I brave enough to grab it when it's passing me by? I got a text or an email or a Facebook message from a woman in high school that I went to high school with this week. She said, Jeff, would you pray for me? I'm in a relationship that I got to get out of, and I'm not brave enough to get out of it. Would you pray for me that I would be brave enough to seize the moment and leave this relationship that's no good for me? Would you pray for me, Jeff? Prayed for. Patrick, today in our 9 o'clock service, he's been praying that a new job opportunity would come his way, and it came this week, and he was still afraid. Can I reach out and grab it? Because it means I have to relocate. But it feels like the right opportunity. So Patrick reached out and he grabbed it. What is the opportunity that God is presenting to you that there's fear bubbling up inside of you that you got to reach out and grab hold of it? Grab hold of this moment. She happens to be here today. I think of Caroline. She doesn't know I'm putting her on the spot today. I should have asked her permission. Caroline's felt called to be a mom. So she's reached out and grabbed hold of what it means to foster. For this last year and a half, she's been raising a boy. All by herself. No, well, not all by herself. We've been helping her. But she reached out and grabbed hold of it. She had to overcome all of that fear in order to grab that moment and get a hold of it. Sometimes it's a lot easier. Sometimes it's like, I've always wanted to go on that mission trip, but I'm afraid to grab it. I've always wanted to sing in the choir, but I'm afraid to grab hold of it. What is it that God is calling you to grab hold of? Our woman in the story today had to overcome all of those fears in order to grab hold of what God was asking her to do. She had to overcome the fear of being ridiculed. She had to overcome the fear of being rejected. She had to overcome the fear of having her heart broken one more time. She had to overcome this fear in order to reach out and grab hold of the moment God was giving her. And this was her moment. And she wasn't going to let it pass by. She knew now was the time. Royal Oak First, let me be absolutely clear with you this morning. You looked at a moment in the life of this church. You said, Jesus is passing us by and we don't want to miss it. And you reached out and you grabbed hold of it. Sometime over the last 5 years, you have discerned that if something didn't change in the life of this ministry, God would have a different plan for this church. I don't know how and when you did it, but you decided to change this building, and in the midst of doing it, you decided to change the way you would do ministry. You reached out and you grabbed hold of the moment. I can't even imagine the fears you had to overcome in order to do that. But you did it. You reached out and you grabbed hold, and let me tell you, by all accounts, it is starting to work. Worship attendance is up. Membership is up. Participation in children and youth programs is up. I was away last weekend at a wedding in Indianapolis, so I watched the service in the car on the way home. Bridget was driving. I was watching. And she said, the kids come up, and I swear to goodness, there were about 35 kids who poured out of these pews and took up every spot on these front rows. I don't know where they're coming from. I mean, I know where they're coming from, but I don't know where they're coming from. 17 baptisms this fall. My fingers are literally pruning from being in that baptismal font all of this time. 70 young people, pre-K through high school, are coming to programs beyond Sunday. It's happening. Because somewhere along the line, you decided to reach out and grab hold of this moment and not let go of it. Trust me when I tell you, churches like ours don't get moments like this very often, and when they do, they usually let them pass by. I can tell you right now, and I'm sure you can too, of at least 5, if not 10 United Methodist churches within a 5-mile radius of us who missed their moment when it passed them. And in the next 10 years, we'll probably have to close their doors. And it was because when the moment came, they were too afraid to reach out and grab it. They said, we're not good enough, and we don't have enough, and we don't have enough to be able to do it. But you overcame those fears, and you grabbed it. Let me be clear with you. I don't think you get it. You are doing something that is going to ensure that ministry, United Methodist ministry, is going to happen on this corner for 50 years beyond us because of the decisions that you made today. Your great-grandchildren will have a chance to come to church here because of what you have decided to do. Because you reached out and grabbed it. And here's what scares me the most. Is I almost didn't grab it with you. I'll never forget the day. It was a Saturday afternoon in Redford. I had just finished my sermon. Put that last period on the thing. You know, we didn't have this Saturday service thing, so I mean, I could write my sermon till midnight on Saturday. It was 3 p.m. I put that period on there. I sat back in my chair and said, Nelson, you got it really good here, brother. It's a good place, and God is doing good ministry here. And as soon as that thought came out of my mouth, my telephone rang. And there it was, my district superintendent calling me. And I knew I was either in trouble or I was moving. And the chances were I was in trouble. And he told me about Royal Oak. And he told me what you had done. He told me that you were renovating a building that was almost 100 years old, that you were putting millions of dollars into it, and that only half of it had been raised, and they were looking for a pastor who would come and help them do the rest of it. And I said right on the phone that day, Charles, I'm not your guy. I've never done this before. It's too big. It's beyond my skills, Charles. You got the wrong person. You better call and ask somebody else to do it. He said, do me a favor, Jeff. Pray on it for one night, would you? And I'll call you back tomorrow. Well, my wife told me we were doing this. No, she didn't. I'm kidding. I don't put it on her. But I'm so grateful that I reached out and grabbed hold along with you. Your courage has given me courage. So I just want to make sure that you know that we've got to grab hold of this together. And I need your help to grab hold of this moment unlike we've ever grabbed a hold of a moment before. Would you find a place to get involved? Will you serve a meal? Will you cut some hair? Will you come with us and repair a home? Will you go to Lithuania? Will you teach a Sunday school class? Will you hold some of these 17 babies that are showing up here? Mary Evans, last service, just needed somebody, some grandma to come up and go, I'll hold the baby for you so you can listen at church. She just needed one lady to come up and say, I'll take that baby for you. Who's gonna hold all these babies? Who's gonna sing in the choir? Who's gonna visit the sick and the shut-in? We gotta do something. Grab a hold of this moment. You have a place to create a legacy that's gonna impact a generation or two beyond us. 4 weeks from now, I get the privilege of inviting you to make a financial investment in the life of this church, and I just want you to know the time has never been riper to make an investment in something that's going to matter long beyond all of us. The time is now. It's our time. Let's grab hold of the moment. So what happened to Susie? Susie showed up in that church on that November Sunday with 7 of her 10 kids and told me she had another one on the way. Now, I'm the pastor who says God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. But when somebody shows up with 7 kids, got 3 more at home and another one on the way, every red flag goes off in a pastor's head. We're not going to be able to handle this. But you see, we've been praying that God would send us kids. We just didn't think it would come with one family. She was looking for a chance to hold on. That year at Christmas, we had more angels in the angel choir. Angelo, can you see his mohawk? Angelo was the first mohawked angel in Redford Township. Before that year was over, all of those kids would get an opportunity to be baptized into the life of the church. She's brought along her partner, Fred. Fred said, I'll come to that church as long as they know all 11 of those kids are mine. And he showed up. And he kept showing up. And he pulled me aside one day and he said, Pastor Jeff, do you think you'd marry me and Susie? You're not married to Susie? You know, you can begin to think that people have disregarded the institution of marriage only to realize they just didn't think they were worthy of it anymore. They didn't think there'd be a church that would stand with them anymore. That would say, hey, we want you to seize this moment for you and your family. And so not only did Fred and Susie grab hold of us, we had to grab hold of them. Because they were taking us in new places we had never been before. And that fall, we stood at the front of that sanctuary. The UMW had bought her a dress.
And they looked at each other and they said, for good times or for worse, for sickness and in health, I am yours and you are mine. And all 11 kids stood up there with them and witnessed it. And I'm glad they seized the moment, because that family would need that moment and need this sanctuary within a year. Because within a year, we'd all gather back in this place, and this time we would be there to celebrate Fred's life. Because Fred, at age 39, would drop dead of a tragic and sudden heart attack. And in that moment, that church was full. And all I could think of is, Susie, thank you for getting up that cold November morning and taking a chance on a church that had no business, you had no business trusting to take a chance on. And she grabbed hold, and that family grabbed hold, and in a moment when they needed it most. Brothers and sisters, the time is now. Jesus is passing us by. Let's grab hold and let him take us where he will. Amen? Time. Go in peace, and may the peace of God go with us. Amen?
Amen.
Give someone a hug or a handshake and get out of here, all right?